What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the EG3 Show, The Garage. It's once again open and available, EG3 Show. My name is Eddie Greer, the third host of the EG3 Show, which is all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camry World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And you know what it is today. It is Monday night, Memorial Day, officially Memorial Day, part of the Memorial Day weekend post-race reaction from Coca-Cola 600, and then plus bonus coverage for my reaction from Monaco and Indianapolis as well. And of course, Xfinity Series race that happened on Saturday afternoon, a wild race there on that end. And I hope you guys are enjoying your Monday, Memorial Day. And yes, like I said on the preview show, think about the ones who serve, who sacrifice their lives for the right for us to live in this grateful country. Man, it's so good to be an American, folks. That's right. Nightcap, it is Monday night. Recording this on the eve of Game 7. Golden State looks to punch their ticket once again to the finals against Houston. So the first half was already answered yesterday, last night, during the Coca-Cola 600. Maybe they should have watched that instead of the domination put up by Kyle Busch. Yep, Kyle Busch, spoiler alert, whooped up on the field last night, spanked everybody's ass behind. He was in another zip code. And the second most dominant performance of Coca-Cola 600 history last night, Kyle Busch getting it done yet again on a torrid pace, adding another win to the book this season and yet another chapter page to this bidding rivalry that's been going on between Kevin Harvick this year and Kyle Busch. A lot more on that in the second half of tonight's episode. Man, that was just an absolute ass-kicking once again in the Coca-Cola 600 race, the longest event of the year. And we see another butt-kicking from a Toyota driver. This time, Kyle Busch took the whooping stick to the field, and there was that. But I'm going to start off with going clockwise, going back to Saturday's action with this Xfinity Series race that took place Saturday. And this had a little bit of everything. A little bit of beating and banging between cup guys at start, and then change of the track, and then had a little rain, and then we had a shootout to the finish, which Brad Keselowski becomes the first repeat winner this season in the Xfinity Series after having some, 12 different winners this year already. Brad Keselowski breaks that trend and holds off Cole Custer and Christopher Bell to get the job done on Saturday. But it was definitely one of those entertaining races, death for sure. But it would definitely look like it was going to be the Kyle Busch Xfinity Series show once again, out here dominating, took stage one and stage two. Kyle Busch did, and went for trying to get through the field, going three wide there with trying to make a move there on Dylan Lupton. We could have been talking about easily a sweep by Kyle Busch this weekend, but he got damaged even though Kyle Busch rallied through the field to score a decent finish again. But Keselowski, Kyle Busch went at it once again in the Xfinity Series early in this race. And I got to tell you, man, this is no love lost between these two cats. They do not like each other worth shit. Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, you know, goes back all the way back. This draft, you can go back to the first year that Keselowski entered into the scene on Kyle Busch. You know, last year the comments were thrown at Keselowski in the championship for sometimes you don't like a guy. And obviously, Kyle Busch, yes, Kyle is a dad, yes. And I don't know how Chase aspect, at least on the Keselowski side, we saw how humble he was last night in victory lane with Brex with Braxton, his son, and of course wife Samantha there in Victory Lane. That was a moment right there that we can picture, at least so far this year, one of the probably favorite moments that we've seen so far from Kyle Busch, finally some humility there for that win. Again, more on that later, but going back to this, rewind, back to Saturday, Keselowski, Busch, not even after stage one, they get together, beat and bang, like it's the freaking last lap of the race, contact made, and somehow both of these cats continued on with their rivalry on track and probably on off the track also. But at the end of the day, Keselowski held off Xfinity Series regulars Christopher Bell and Cole Custer and Bell. My oh my, would he like to have that caution back? Because it looked like for real, that Bell was going to catch Keselowski. We're going to have one of these Atlanta finishes down the wire. That was looking so, because Bell was hawking down Brad. But the caution came out late. Set up a green white checker. Overtime. Yeah, everything was right there for Christopher Bell to win this race. And he stuttered on the restarts. These restarts this weekend were tricky, to say the least. You know, at least for the front row concern. And for Bell, wrong plate, kind of the wrong position at the wrong time. He probably wishes that caution did not come out. I was hoping that thing would go green because Bell, he was on his way to catching Keselowski. We're going to have a battle, fight on fight, down to the finish. And we did not see that because the stupid caution came out late, of course. And we did not see that, obviously, last night. The sleeper of a race, you ask me. I should have watched the basketball game because that came down to the final quarters there, taking LeBron all the way down on the wire there, and LeBron taking that team back to the NBA Finals again. Sorry, I'm kind of crisscrossing over, but hey, we can't say Bell had his opportunity and he screwed it up on the restart. Cole Custer got around him, and Cole Custer had a good race car all afternoon long. But Keselowski at one point was back in the top 10, back half of the top 10, came up huge in scores, second win of the season. And remember, Keselowski won earlier this year, setting out that 3-race winning streak for Penske Racing earlier. I believe that happened at Phoenix. Yes, that's right. The producer says it was Phoenix, shaking his head. Phoenix, and now you're talking about getting Charlotte as well, and how much it means to win on a Memorial Day weekend like Roger Penske. Huge weekend, really, overall. Even though the Cup guys kind of struggled yesterday, except for Keselowski, who kind of came out of nowhere. But Penske winning the Indy 500 behind Will Power in that finish, he came up in a much clutch situation, how that all shook out. More than Indy 500 later on. EG3 show post-race reaction style. Coca-Cola 600. But you're getting bonus coverage from, of course, the Xfinity Series. Indy 500 in Monaco, which interesting takes on those here as we get into it momentarily. But this race had it all. Loose race cars, people hitting the wall hard, and all that other stuff. Tyler Reddick spinning out on the same turn 3 times in this race. Reddick, Bell hit the wall at one time. Ty Majeski was a pinball. Chase Briscoe was also a pinball in this. We saw a lot of 3-wide, which was very common. And oh, speaking of that, 3-wide, my 3-wide moment coming up at the end of the show. You don't want to miss that. Majeski, those guys, everybody was loose. And like I said earlier, Kyle Busch taking, really sweeping, except for winning the Xfinity Series. He swept all the stages this weekend. 1 and 2 in the Xfinity Series race, the Outlaws Coast 300. And then last night, that ass-kicking. 1, 2, 3 in the win for Kyle Busch. And that's the third time we've seen a driver sweep stages and win this year. That's more times than we saw last year. That and courtesy of Truex sweeping Las Vegas and Kentucky. Now we upped the ante even more, one more, and we still got a whole another half in the playoffs to go. The way this year's been going, I wouldn't be surprised if we see it again a couple more times before the playoffs roll on. That's how the season's been going, because we've seen total domination this year. And I listened to a podcast yesterday. I'll run down the results, top 10 in a second, that somebody talked about it was good racing. I mean, how is it good racing when we're seeing total domination? Yes, the All-Star race was a good race with a different race package. I understand. But how would you consider Coca-Cola 600 a good race when we saw Kyle Busch whooped up the field? I know Jeff Gluck, you know, picked Kyle Busch last year to win a championship, and he picked him again this year to win a championship. He's probably saying it was a good race and all other stuff. But, you know, I did vote. I said hell no. Again, I'm going back and forth. But Kyle Busch, nobody touched him from the drop of the green flag, really, all the way through. And it wasn't for, you know, the stage cautions. We could have seen him probably surpass Truex, but Truex still up there. He's still the top dog of performances of all time at Charlotte. So at least for that, we still got that for the time being. But that was a double butt kicking there. And then last night was just a downright drubbing by Kyle Busch last night. And I can't say how you think that's a good race right there. But his history-making race for sure for Kyle Busch and the whole 18 organization, and the way Kyle Busch ended last year, you know, coming up short of the championship. He was pissed off about that. But, and ironically, you know, Kyle Busch finishing first, Truex finishing second, and Martin Truex Jr. had an interesting night, especially in the second half of the race. Really, that third stage could have put his race in jeopardy. But other than that, Kyle Busch leading over 300 laps, and that stat that kept popping up, over 12,000 laps led without a point race win at that track. Unbelievable, but that's all put to bed last night. Kyle Busch was very, at least motivated. I should say at least when we erase that. He was motivated for damn sure. Motivated to go out up there and handle business. And with a good race car like that, he handled it like Kyle Busch know how to do. But going back over to the ASCO 300 here. Sorry, I'm going crisscrossing in and out. But Keselowski with the win. Cole Custer second. Christopher Bell third. Ty Dillon was on fresh tires late. Comes back and finishing the top five in this one. Fourth, Elliott Sadler. You might as well call him Mr. Automatic Top 5, because that's what we see every week without that critical win. Yes, he's the points leader still, but question for him now. You know, the consistency is great, and I feel like I've talked about this on this podcast every week, and I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this has been a recurring theme we've seen all year long so far. Elliott Sadler in the top 10, mostly in the top 5. Consistency is there. You know, let's not think about that. But he had opportunity to win a few weeks ago at Dover. Allgaier got wrestled away from him. And there's that. And then Salas had opportunity. I don't know if it's choking or what you want to call it. But Salas, he's had opportunities to win this year. The Daytona season opener, where he and Reddick were going to the line. The closest finish in Xfinity Series history. Reddick beat him out for that. And they go, again, like I mentioned, Dover. Sadler had an opportunity to do that as well. Try to win that as well. But the common denominator is Junior Motorsports teammates staying in the way. Wanted more. Justin Allgaier got the win, even though that was kind of taken away. He doesn't have those stage points due to a penalty. And doesn't have his crew chief. Allgaier doesn't have his crew chief. Jason Burdett. He still won't have him for Pocono this week at all. So there's that. So Sadler, for sure, we can notify, you know, he's all very consistent. He's going to be competitive for the championship. But the thing is, can he close the deal like Kyle Busch in the Cup side? Can he close the deal in the Xfinity Series, win a race or so? It goes back a couple years ago where Sadler won some 3 races, and he was a clear-cut favorite to win the championship. You know, obviously lost in Sadler fashion. Couldn't get it done, and obviously we know what happened last year, last fall, on Ryan Preece. Ryan Preece standing in the way, and we all know the story what happened there. But if, for those who don't know, Elliott Sadler was leading William Byron in position while Cole Custer was dominating the race last fall. And Ryan Preece, these guys were racing for position, and Siler overdrove it. It was late in the race. Siler's driving hard. Priest was driving hard, and they made contact. And the rest was their history. And William Byron got by both of them to win the championship. And the funny thing is, Adam Alexander talking about William Byron, one of the highlight shows, highlight reels over there during the race, talking about the reigning champion. He's not even racing in this the Xfinity Series. He's focusing full on the Cup Series. So how is this the reigning champion if he's not even running on the Xfinity Series side? I don't understand that little spiel there. But Byron, you know, he's a champ. He's the defending champion, but he's not even racing. So it's going to be definitely gonna be a new champion in the Xfinity Series this year. So Siler, the question on him is, can he get it done without messing anything up or choking or something to the lines of that? Because he's been in a Cup Series for a long time before not getting a ride in the Cup Series and doubling down here to the Xfinity Series. But he easily should have won two championships, maybe three championships already, and probably be already back in the Cup Series if not for not failing to close the deal. So this is what the focus is on Elliott Siler moving forward. Can he win a race? And we know the consistency. We know he got speed in those Junior Motorsports cars. Can he get it done? And can he get up there and win a race? That's the question now surrounding this one car. EG3 Show post-race edition tonight on Memorial Day. Thank you for hanging out with me, Eddie Greer III. Here tonight, post-race reaction. Finished out this top 10. Ryan Truex was nowhere to be found early in this race. And then there was a sighting on him. Got the third during that rain delay. And then held on for a good finish, even though that car was not a top 10 car all day. Six for Ryan Truex. Daniel Hemric, he was in position to get a win during that break. He was sitting in second position there. Had an opportunity there, and you didn't say the same thing about Daniel Hemric becoming that spokesperson for the Xfinity Series this year. I mentioned it on Inside Xfinity. You missed that episode last week. Definitely encourage you to check that out. Hemric 7th, Kyle Busch swept both stages and got the contact with Dylan Lupton, spun on Lupton, got a contact from Briscoe, and still a rally to finish 8th, Matt Tiff 9th. And how about that man, Cass Grala? In the 10th position, Cass, great job and with a new team. And I thought they shut that team down, but there's a reason behind that because of health issues. And they gave away the points to this 61 car, this new organization. And Cass Grala did an amazing job in the 10th position. So that's your top 10 right there. Some notables here real quick before we get into Monaco. Brandon Jones, 15th. Looking down here, Ty Majeski in the 22nd position. Tyler Reddick, 23rd. Ross Chastain, usually finishing the top 15. Not in this one. 26th. Ryan Reed, 29th. Justin Allgaier ends up in the 32nd position. Chase Elliott made an appearance to be back this week also at Pocono. Chase Elliott was in the top 5 early and often. 37th. That's your kind of your around the field look. From the Alice Coast 300 EG3 Show rolls along. Now it's time to get down to cross the waters to Monaco. This, I read several comments about this race yesterday, and I watched this race, the first half of this race, before going to church yesterday, and Daniel Ricciardo gets it done. Despite the engine issues that he suffered early in this race, I did see that part, a part of that package early. Red Bull sitting on the pole, and he held off Sebastian Vettel to win this race. I don't, you know, for what it is, I don't know how Ricciardo pulled this off. I mean, this unbelievable job they did. You know, I thought for sure he was going to have to park it for the afternoon, but you know, there was a lot of talk yesterday about the comparison of this race right here, Monaco, and then going over to compare this to the Coke 600. Yeah, you know, we saw domination from start to finish in this one for sure. And despite all of that, you know, this happened last year where this race last year that I saw, there was much passion going on, and there wasn't really much passing in this one, at least when I turned it on to watch the first half of this race. There was not much not much passing going on throughout this race, and it probably wasn't much racing, much passing after the fact. I mean, we saw people close on certain guys, you know, Hamilton and Kimi Raikkonen did some battling for a little bit there, and there's some battling deep in the field, but there wasn't much passing. And I don't know, you know, Coke 600, we saw its battles, and at least the Coke 600 had battles within the domination of Kyle Busch. We didn't see, again, for the second year in a row, at least from my corner, I didn't see much passing from there. And somebody said that, I might be mistaken, but somebody said Marco was a better race than the Coke 600. You know, I got to disagree on that one. I mean, both of these, except for the Indy 500 yesterday, Indy 500 came down to a crazy-ass fuel mileage strategy, while both these races on the back, front end and the back end, were just, probably would say, the Monaco race was probably boring, more boring so than the Coca-Cola 600 yesterday, in my opinion. But still, that domination of the Kyle Busch situation. But when you take a look at just these cars, you know, the distance, these pit stops, was there even a caution in this race? I didn't see a caution. I didn't even hear a caution throughout. All the big talk was surrounding Daniel Ricciardo and his engine issues, where somehow he lost power and still was able to get that machine to the checkered flag and hold off Sebastian Vettel with some 7 second vertical, or not vertical, interval. That's the word I'm looking for. Interval. That's pretty domination right there. And Vettel finished ahead of third place Lewis Hamilton by some 10 seconds. Way back, and then Raikkonen, like I said, the two of them were battling for that third and final podium spot, which was a battle. That right there was probably the only battle right there interesting throughout the whole race. Yes, Vettel closed on Ricciardo, and I might be butchering the name, sorry, I apologize for that, but I would say how I want to say it, I guess, in a way, sorry, I apologize for that, but Ricciardo, Vettel closed on Ricciardo, and then somehow Daniel Ricciardo was able to pull away, and Daniel Ricciardo represents Red Bull Racing. We had a Ferrari and Mercedes. That's your top three right there. Let's just check out the top six while I got it pulled up here. Daniel Ricciardo first, Sebastian Vettel second, Lewis Hamilton third, Kimi Raikkonen fourth, Valtteri Bottas in the top five, and Esteban Ocon. And that's your top six right there in the Stewart Haas cars. I don't know where they finished at, and who cares about that? All I see is, you know, there's less passing and everything else, but, you know, domination again in this race once again, and Red Bull Racing cashed in on victory lane. I believe Vettel won this race last year, either he or Raikkonen. I know it was one of those two guys that got the job done yesterday in last year's race. But overall, I don't think we saw that much passing, really. I know for sure I didn't see no passing other than gaps closing and people pulling away, and you saw multiple pit stops throughout the race. But Monaco, for the way it is, you know, you got to come up with some strategy to try to win the race. And Vettel was waiting on Ricciardo to make a mistake. I know that's what the team radio said early on in the first half of the race, and that mistake did not come up in this race, and Ricciardo walked on home easily with the win at Monaco. So, for all it's worth right there, you know, yesterday's activity, the Triple Crown of Motorsports, saw domination on both ends and saw a wild-ass race. Indy 500, which we're going to talk about when we come from the intermission break. After that, after we come back, we're going to talk Indy 500. Danica Patrick, the Danica double, fails one more time. And, of course, Kyle will go back to the Cup Series. Kyle Busch making history, and it was a big deal because Kyle Busch gets first on the board for winning on all tracks. And interesting scenario, too, with the Roval coming up I'll talk about that next. EG3 show rolls on. Show post race reaction edition of the podcast. Welcome back, Eddie Gritta III here. EG3 show. For those of you who don't know, the EG3 show, where we're all about all the world of NASCAR, the latest news stories, race recaps, Camping World Truck Series, Monster Energy, Xfinity, three biggest divisions, and all the more sports. Before we roll on here, of note from Monaco, Fernando Alonso raced in the race as well. I don't think he finished in the top 10. Sorry, I'm kind of guessing on that, but Alonso was in the top 10 early. He kind of had an up and down day. Kind of funny, last year he was in contention for a top 5 in the Indianapolis 500, which we'll get to, and kind of struggled yesterday in Monaco. Point standings for the Xfinity Series, your top 5, what you're looking at: Elliott Sadler plus 33 over Christopher Bell. Tyler Reddick is third. Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, your top 5 right there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving forward. Once again, got through the Xfinity Series. Monaco race missed the morning. And now the Indianapolis 500. My goodness. And I mentioned the fuel strategy that played out yesterday. Willpower came to play yesterday. And again, he drives for Penske. And he came up huge yesterday in that race, finally capitalizing on a couple of miscalculations on a couple of those drivers and winning the race there, getting his first victory. And there was a picture on Twitter that kept resurfacing of him giving a bird. I don't know which race that was yesterday. that was funny and to see that. But he was giving the number one to somebody in the stands. I don't know who that was that he was pointing to, but obviously that's where his eyes were looking. But yesterday his eyes were looking toward his wife and his team in victory lane, the emotion and everything else coming out. Big time win. And the scenario that happened before that, boy, we saw Stefan Wilson and Jack Harvey in position 1-2 in the final laps of this race. And the final restart, I think it was Oriel Servia that stayed out. And what the hell is he thinking, staying out? Crew chief said that was a ballsy call right there. You know, for him to say, hey, we're just going to go on the spot. Get right there and say, hey, we're going to leave him. We're going to go for this, man. Hey, we got a shot to win the Indy 500. We're going to go for this, man. All right. Well, did not get a good restart. So that was thrown in the garbage. And he was hounded by Stefan Wilson. Wilson took the lead away. And then Jack Harvey was in position to get the job done. And then, like, two laps later, both of them peel off to get fuel because they did not have enough fuel to finish. And Will Power steps in there and cashes it to the bank. Big time win for Will Power to get the elusive Indy 500. He's a champion at Indy. And Ed Carpenter, who started on the pole, ends up the runner-up finish. My, that was kind of a heartbreaking deal for him there. After a strong month of May, Carpenter led the field to green and finished in the second position. He had Scott Dixon, your top three there, right there, in the third spot. Let's go ahead and round the top five, shall we? Alexander Rossi, what a fun day for him from the back of the field. all the way to the top five, making some bold ass moves to get himself there. Not enough laps, but he was going to be fun to watch, and he did not disappoint, finishing in the fourth, and Ryan Hunter-Reay finishing in the fifth position. And let's just go ahead and round the top 10 for you, ladies and gentlemen. Simon Pagenaud, Carlos Munoz, Joseph Newgarden, Robert Wickens, and Graham Rahal. How about that? Finish in the 10th position. But yeah, man, I mean, I watched coming out of church, I watched the race from Texas Roadhouse, watching that a little bit because they had the race on from there. And this race had kind of the full package. Also, we kind of had an injury as well coming from Ed Jones, you know, suffering some head and back pain as well. Had to be taken to the hospital as well. And prayers for him that nothing was serious, and no additional updates to update you at the time about that as well. And then you had James Davison hit the wall hard early. I believe that was Ed Jones that was in hospital. I believe that. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it's, when I read Twitter updates, they say it was Ed Jones. I'm pretty sure that, not James Davison. But also, Tomoko Sato's chances of repeating an Indy 500 champ came undone very early in this race. He was out, and the story, obviously, from this race, you know, Sebastian Bourdais spun out, hit the wall, his day was over, so was Elio Castroneves and Tony Kanaan. Both of them, all of them, spun out by themselves, got loose, hit the wall, their days are done, and include that in the mix. Denica Patrick, the Denica double, fails due to crashes in both races, and Danica Patrick spun off turn two, hit the wall. She hit the wall a ton as well, but again, glad she was all right, and disappointing end to the career. I thought for sure she was going to compete for a top 10 spot, but she looked like she was struggling back in 16th when she wrecked out of this race. And it's kind of it's hard truth, but kind of fitting, you know. You want to end Indy on a good note, and with a sour taste in her mouth right there. Very unfortunate situation right there, but the Danica double, all the hype around that turns to naught, and now she can go and do other things. And but like I talked about last week, she will not be forgotten for sure, because the way she changed the sport and opened the doors for a new generation and females to come into the sport. And hopefully, you know, like I said in the Stage Weekly Break last week, that Haley Deegan, as everybody's talked about, can step on here and do a better job, which I think, again, I haven't seen the race, but from what I've heard a lot of good things, and we'll see how that goes. But Danica Patrick, you know, the Danica double, turns out to be the Danica double crashing the party, literally, and couldn't get to the finish either in this race. So a lot of guys were out early, but at the end of the day, the few mile strategy did not pay off for Servia staying out. I mean, for what it's worth, you know, they gambled. I mean, can't fault them for trying, but it was a wrong decision and a bad restart. Harvey and Wilson could not come up big, did not save enough fuel, obviously, with some 6 laps to go. And Will Power, who led multiple laps in this one, got it done at Indianapolis. And Roger Penske, big number on him. We'll have numbers of the week at the end of the show, as well as the EG3 wide moment of the weekend. I got you covered on that EG3 show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in Memorial Day night. Hope you're enjoying it with friends and family, and remembering the ones who sacrificed their lives so we can live in this grateful nation. Eddie Greer III here with you guys tonight. We're kind of wrapping up the nightcap for you guys, EG3 show, and this will be up tomorrow as usual. So you guys will be listening, who usually listen on Tuesday nights, Tuesday morning, it'll be up first thing in the morning. I'm going to enjoy some grilling here tonight as well, so definitely on the back end of it as well. All right, so back to the Coca-Cola 600. For the rest of the show. 600. Already talked about it. Kyle Busch. Being the first driver ever to win at all series tracks. in doing it, beating Jimmy Johnson to the punt and Jeff Gordon. Well, Jeff Gordon don't race no more, so Jimmy Johnson was close on that feat also, but he hasn't won it all track. So Kyle Busch, the talented Kyle Busch, all about the winning. And he got it done in pretty much thudding fashion over the field. He was by far, obviously, the best car in the field. And then you go down to your Toyota teammate and alliance mate, Martin Truex Jr. Again, these two have done battle multiple times. And I thought for sure, you know, Martin Truex Jr. qualified poorly on a mile and a half, uncharacteristically. But that car was working good early in this race. And then the stage three, it could have come down easily because Martin sped on pit road, driver fault. And he didn't really need to speed because he had a gap between second and third place. Kyle Larson at that moment sped on pit road, and then another pit road mistake by the crew, uncontrolled tire, so he had to start in the back two times in a row. And luckily, you know, that car was working for him good right there. That was all Martin right there. And in that second half, he was very unhappy with that car. That was very untrue, exact, but he got his ass up on that wheel and he was driving it hard. And even though he closed on Kyle Busch late in the race, even though Kyle Busch was saving a little bit, trying to get to the finish and kind of managing his way to the finish right there. Truex was gaining on him, but he for sure had a second-best car, and that sounded about right. I tweeted out yesterday, last night, that it sounded about right for him to get the job done right there. And that was all the driver right there, because the crew continued to screw up. And I did not know that he was working with a couple of new crew members this year. Because, the pit crew got him that championship last year. Got him out front. And Martin Truex Jr. took care of the rest last year. But this year, it's been a struggle on that pit road side of things. And I know it's the start of the second half of the year last night. But hopefully, they'll turn that around. But we saw some interesting racing throughout the field. And how about the Chevys last night? Is this going to be the start of the Chevys rising up here this summer? Besides last year they were struggling big time. And Jimmy Johnson, the story out of this one, besides Kyle Larson, finally Jimmy Johnson comes out, shows up, he wants to play some ball for a little bit. Jimmy Johnson was out here making passes three wide and everything else. Jimmy Johnson had... This was the best race by far that we've seen in quite a while by Jimmy Johnson. The 48 still ain't letting no laps. That's still going to be a story, but is this the start of the turnaround for Hendrick Motorsports? No, we and Byron had an issue yesterday hitting the wall, but we saw Johnson, Chase Elliott, who had an up and down day. He's finished outside the top 10, and Alex Bowman up in here mixing up late in the top 10. He finished in the top 10 somewhere, but other than Kyle Larson, do we start talking about Jimmy Johnson? I know we might. I'm going to sit back and wait until Pocono and Michigan to find that out. Because this is big time for Jimmy Johnson. He finished in the top five. Big, big finish for him right there. Is this the race right here that gets that mojo rolling for that 48? We'll have to find out next year. I'm going to hold on that. But Jimmy Johnson, he was coming to play last night, and he was playing some ball, serious ball last night, racing his ass off and getting the job done right there for that 48. So that was huge right there. Kind of just bouncing around the field here. Get the full field run out in a moment. But also, you take a look at a couple other drivers. Also, Kasey Kahne was up there, mixed it up in the top 15. This team is starting to raise some eyebrows either. Again, it's part of the Chevy camp as well. Kasey Kahne, even though he finished some 19th or 20th position, Kasey Kahne, that 95 was looking pretty stout last night. And you got to go back to Ganassi. We know Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson, involved in one of those cautions, still is able to race up there hard. In Chip Ganassi Racing, both cars finished in the top 10. Jamie McMurray, at one point, was in trouble early last night. And he stuck to his game plan. It didn't matter where he was running 20th, had to come back down the pit running 15th. But this guy, Jimmy, like kind of like Jimmy Johnson, it's the waking up call. wake-up call for Jamie McMurray. McMurray, he just stood on the high side all night long, high and dry, and he was putting it down at 1 point. McMurray was in second spot. That was funny to see McMurray out here riding a little dirty here on the competition. But McMurray, amazing job. Finish in the top 10. Much needed performance from him. He needs to get the ball rolling. Also, he's well outside the top 16 in points right now. But the other big story coming from here, those were some of the notables from me, from what I saw last night in the trades. But the bigger news again, you know, Austin Dillon, you know, last night, we do not see the Cam Newton dab or whatever it is that he's doing out early. But the bigger story, Kevin Harvick. Once again, Harvick going for three in a row. And Harvick hits the wall this time without noticing that the tire was going down the left front. And he started shotgunning the back, rose up, got to sixth or fifth place before that happened. And again, you know, Jeff Gordon mentioned this on the broadcast late last night. Here we go. This is Gordon. I'm summarizing this. Talking about, here we go again. Talking about, you know, Kevin Harvick. What if Kevin Harvick was in this? What if he was doing this? You know, we know Kevin Harvick is strong each and every week. We get that. But this is kind of like that. His hit in the wall reminded me of Truex at Texas a while back, and how strong that 78 was, and could he have been able to race Kyle Busch then? And the same thing for California. Truex went on to dominate that, and they're saying the same thing, including myself a little bit. It was Harvick enough was going to give Truex a run for his money. I don't think he was that day. The Truex spanked the field then. Kyle Busch spanked the field last night, and Kevin Harvick's done his share of spanking this year also. So again, you know, I don't think Harvick would have had anything for Kyle Busch. You know, Kyle Busch was his own little country right there last night. He was determined to get it done, to be that guy, to be the first one to win at all these tracks. That I really felt something was going to happen. Even, you know, I see it all the time with Truex out front and hoping for that late caution. It always comes out with some two to go, but we didn't see with Kyle Busch last night. Go figure. But nothing really happened on the racetrack to even consider that, because everything was spread out and Kyle Busch was running away from everybody else. And he lapped up to 10th place Stenhouse last night in this race. So that car was clicking on all cylinders. And here we go again, talking about, okay, Harvick, do we see a trend of Harvick? Does Harvick have enough? Oh, Kevin Harvick was making moves, and he was getting up there, but we're left again saying, it might come once again to these cats at Homestead, because we saw this last year, these same three guys. I mean, Keselowski was complaining about speed of Ford and whatnot. He was part of that championship four, and these three guys, though. Keselowski had a good night last night, by the way, and Logano, who started in front row, did not. Ryan Blaney ended up in flames last night. Speaking of grilling, he was grilled last night, running that thing dry until the electrical issue fried, and thankfully he got out, but putting it in literal terms, he was grilled last night. That was a huge fire in that car. EG3 show, by the way, thank you for tuning in tonight, post-race reaction edition, where Kyle Busch absolutely brought out the whipping stick and put it on this field. Eddie Gritter III here with the guys tonight. Getting my take on the race as usual on Monday nights. But again, we're asking the question, you know, these three guys right here, they battled for the championship last year. Truex, and I think Truex quietly has been a top five car all year long, in my opinion. I mean, yes, they had that bad month. You take that away, and he's had a strong year. I mean, yes, he doesn't have the stage wins and whatnot, unfortunately. You know, he has these stages and the win at California. But yes, he doesn't have the stage, so that he's going to go back to Miami and repeat if this continues. But I don't think it's going to last this long. I think he's going to get another win or two somewhere down the line. This team's too good. They're running too good. I think they'll be put on the back burner because of Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick. But that might not be a bad thing at all. But Truex, Harvick, Busch, Kyle Busch, you know, unless something dramatically happens in the playoffs, you know, with the points that they're gathering up, these two, the four and the 18, these two guys, if something dramatically happens to them, they could be automatic locks for that's two spots taken up right there already. And you're going to have somebody outside of this mix upset the field when we get to the playoffs. That's going to be an interesting scenario if it plays out like this right now. Because 25 to 24 stage points, Kyle Busch now leads the stage point position on Harvick and still continues to lead the points. He extended that lead on second place, which we'll get into him momentarily. But I got to tell you, where they're shipping it right now, 4 and 18, where they are back and forth battling for domination, for claiming hold of trying to be the favorite, you know, try to throw in the 78. You know, right now these guys are looking good, but I will not count the 78. They are starting to get right up there in the mix. And last night, showed anything, persistent, not quitting on MTJ's part, getting that second place finish right there in the mix. But for sure, I don't think it's going to stay seven stage points for that long. This team is too good, despite the pit crew issues. They got to get that sorted out. But despite all that, I think Martin Truex Jr. has got another win or two in him, and maybe a couple more stage wins in him in the second half. I don't think that's going to stay much longer, the way that his team continues to rattle off top five to top five after top five, it seems like, this year. That's a top five team for sure in my book. Full field run now. Let's get it right now with Timmy Hill. No, let me check that in. I think for the first time in his career, I think Kevin Harvick finished shotgun for the first time in his career. I thought he said this a couple of times on his podcast in the past. Maybe not, but Harvick shotgun for the first time in his cup career due to the tire failure last night. Wow. William Byron finished 39th, had his issue in a race last night. Also, J.J. Yeley, 38th. Matt DiBenedetto had an oil leak issue, 37th. Ryan Blaney, like I said earlier, engine issues. He was grilled last night, 36th. Ryan Newman, he had an awesome run going until he had issues late, 35th. RCR had a rough night. Showed speed in qualifying, but yet the results not there to show for. And Austin Dillon continues his downfall from the wrecking of the 500 and winning that race, 34th. BJ McLeod, 33rd. Timmy Hill, 32nd. Ray Golding, 31st. Jeffrey Earnhardt, 30th. Chris Buescher, 29th. Landon Castle, 28th. Going upwards from there, Parker Kligerman hit the wall at one point or another. He ran the entire race, six laps down, 27th. Corey LaJoie, he was in the running as well. Kind of surprised there with all the issues this year. Corey LaJoie, 26th. David Reagan, 25th. Ross Chastain, 24th. AJ Allmendinger, 23rd. Logano, 22nd. Ty Dillon, 21st. Then you have Kasey Kahne, 20th. Eric Jones, all eyes were on Eric Jones this week. Great practice session. Fast chop. Top the charts in the speed charts, 10 lap average and all that other stuff. But mistakes also cost him in this race also. 19th for Eric Jones, a disappointing 19th for him. Michael McDowell, great run, 18th and all that mess. Matt Kenseth, a much more better performance even though he was a lap down in this one, 17th. Bubba Wallace, great job from the 43. Top 20 run, 16th for Wallace. Daniel Suarez, 15th. Paul Menard, 14th. Eric Almirola, 13th. Clint Bowyer, 12th. Chase Elliott outside the top 10 in the 11th. Your top 10 finishers include Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Alex Bowman, Kurt Busch, Kyle Larson, Mick Murray, 6th through 10th. Jimmy Johnson, Brad Keselowski, as I talked about, had a great night for Penske. 4th, Denny Hamlin. We have not gone on the show talking about Denny Hamlin yet. Denny Hamlin up there all night long. Finish in the third spot. So Denny Hamlin showing some muscle here to start the second half of the year. Of course, we documented the 1-2 punch of Kyle Busch. 377 laps led of the 400. That's just, once again, folks, an ass whipping on the field. Mark Truex Jr., your runner-up for the Coca-Cola 600 full field runner right there for you folks. Right there. My goodness. Story, though. History was made last night. In the midst of that, Kyle Busch becoming the first driver ever to win all the tracks. And now that we have that out of the way, do we consider Roval? Do we count that coming up? Because when we come back here in Charlotte in the fall, in the playoffs, the Roval is going to be the first elimination race, which is going to draw all eyes on the six, whoever the 16 are. We know some of them already. So, this is going to be interesting. The Roval, do you count that? And not until we get there, at least. We'll just give Kyle Busch's due for now until we race at the Roval when we come back this fall for the postseason and cutoff race. First one, to be exact. That's going to be an all-timer. That's going to be an all-timer right there. Roval, we're not going to be racing a mile and a half Roval style. And he tested there along with Truex. Truex was on a different test. But Kyle Busch was one of those who tested at Roval a few weeks ago. So we'll see that out. But for now, he claims that right now. And he scored his fourth win of the season. I believe he's tied with Harvick for the most wins this year, I believe, with four. No, excuse me. Check that. Yeah, check that. Harvick has five. Kyle Busch now has four. Now, in the books, he trails Harvick in that category. But most importantly, though, Kyle Busch leads in two categories. Obviously, the point standings, plus 67 on Logano. Harvick finishing dead last, lost a lot of ground, third. Brad Keselowski fourth, and Martin Truex Jr. climbs back in the top five in points. That's your top five in points right now. And on the stage side of it, Kyle Busch leads Harvick by one, 25-24 right now. And the way this thing is going right now, at least on the stage points part, we could be saying double locks. I won't rule that out for a fact. I know the Truex rule last year, getting all those points. And he had a stellar performances throughout the playoffs. And he didn't let that get to him. He had a stellar playoffs. He still performed to his potential. But now when you turn the page here this year, you got two guys dominating, taking all the stage points. Harvick, Kyle Busch, and the way that if this trend continues to roll on, we might be seeing two spots taken. I know I might be speaking too fast. A lot can happen between now and then. But again, we're seeing great drivers not cashing victory lane like a Denny Hamlin, Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Larson, Kurt Busch, and those guys, Chase Elliott. The list goes on down the line that we have not seen in victory lane. And we go to Pocono here coming up this week in the Xfinity Series, by the way. We'll run the package that we saw in the All-Star race, pretty much like they did last year at Indy, for the next 2 weeks in Pocono. That's going to be an exciting race, I think, in the Xfinity Series race coming up this week. Philadelphia, here we come. Xfinity in the Cup side this week. And I'll double-check the Truck Series on that this week. And then I'll be talking to you guys for this weekly stage break as well. EG3 Show rolls along. Eddie Greer III on this Monday night, Memorial Day weekend, about to come to a close. And before I move on further with that EG3 show, after these 3 weeks, I believe, I will be going on vacation for the first time in quite some time since my honeymoon. So I just want to give you guys a heads up. I might be doing a podcast while on vacation. I'm not sure how that's going to be, but definitely when I come back, that Wednesday. I come back on the following week on a Tuesday. And on that Wednesday, I plan on recording a double header of episode right there for you guys to get you guys back on track. But I just wanted to let the listeners know, you guys who listen to the podcast each and every week, I appreciate what y'all do. I wanted to give y'all a heads up on that. I'll keep reminding you as it gets closer. I think it's 3 weeks from now. I'm going on vacation, baby. West Coast, baby. So we're looking forward to that. So I might be planning on doing a mini podcast while I'm out there as well. So I want you to give heads up on that, and as well as a post race. I'm not sure about that. So I'll definitely keep you apprised of this, of details as it gets closer to the middle of June, which I'll be off for a week and a half and change. So just want to give you heads up. So that way I give you heads up that we're kind of a little bit going AWOL a little bit, but hopefully I can squeeze in a mini podcast while I'm out there, so you guys can enjoy that. It won't be the usual like three like I've been doing each and every week for you guys, but it'll be at least something for you guys. Maybe at least one for sure. I don't know about three, but at least one for sure. I'll try to get that in there for you guys for there. So there's a little bit of that. So I'll keep reminding you guys as it gets closer to that time. It is time for the EG3 helmet stickers of the week that we got lined up. And there's a lot of them here, folks. Now I'm just going to give it to you right now. Cole Custer, Ryan Truex, Kaz Grala, Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Will Power, Ed Carpenter, Alexander Rossi, Kyle Busch, Jamie McMurray, Alex Bowman. EG3 helmet stickers this week for you folks. Like I said, I told you it was going to be a lot of them because of the races this weekend. A lot of them goes down. Custer, Ryan Truex, Grala, Ricciardo, Vettel, Hamilton, Power, Carpenter, Rossi, Rowdy, McMurray, Bowman, the Showman. EG3 helmet stickers this weekend. So there you go, folks. EG3 stickers handing out this week. Just a couple more minutes on the EG3 Show post-race edition tonight. Wrapping up the 2 weeks at Charlotte. Eddie Greer III here with you guys for that EG3 Show on Facebook.com/EG3 and Podcast Center. You can listen to the EG3 Show on multiples like Audioboom, Spotify, iTunes. Subscribe, follow us on there, rate and review, and iHeartRadio. We're on that as well. EG3 Show, and my favorite saying on the EG3 Show as well. What do you guys do? Tell your friends about this show and join the movement, folks, on the EG3 Show. Join the movement, folks. We continue to move on through the second half of the year, and we're going to Pennsylvania next for Pocono this upcoming weekend. Join the movement, EG3 Show. Spread the word about the EG3 Show. It definitely helps out. And we had a couple podcasts already joined on board as well. Shout outs to the Loose Lugs podcast and the PETM podcast as well. My ATL brothers, PETM, thank you for joining in on the EG3 Show and everything else like that. So I know it's kind of rushing that, but kind of running out short on time. So I want to get that in there real quick before I forget. So thank you for joining on board. Hopefully some or others can join on board as well. But definitely continue to spread the word out about the EG3 Show. It has been a blast here so far this season. EG3, three wide, move of the race. Let's get to that here for a wrap up the show real quick. Yes, EG3 Show, EG3, move of the race. Goes to Joey Logano this week. like a video game this week. Joey Logano, this was, I believe, second stage where all hell kind of broke loose. Keselowski pitted and came through the field. It was one of those cautions, but Joey Logano made a move. And this kind of turned the race for him and really for Eric Jones. Put Ricky Stenhouse three wide. It seemed like Stenhouse was in a lot of three wide situations this last 2 weeks. Sorry to Ricky Stenhouse. It's the way it is, man. But Logano put it three wide, and Jimmy Johnson was taken out by Denny Hamlin there. Denny Hamlin spun Johnson. Johnson locked him up, and luckily for him, he did not get hit, because that was some great moves right there. Not only by Johnson, but Joey Logano as well, even though he did get tapped by Eric Jones right there towards the end of that melee right there. But Joey Logano kind of saved his race too, along with Jimmy Johnson. Because if Jimmy Johnson gets tagged there, his race is probably done, most likely right there. So Joey Logano gets the EG3 three wide move of the race. So there you have it on that. And I'm going to leave you folks with this number of the week. 17. Well, I got two of them real quick. 17-1. Roger Penske scores win number 17 in the Indianapolis 500. That is ridiculous. good. That is spanky good right there. And, of course, I've been saying it throughout the podcast. One, that is Kyle Busch becoming the first NASCAR driver ever to win at all the racetracks in unison. That is still mind-blowing with the competition that's out here each and every week. That is something else. And Kyle Busch now has 4 wins on the year, and he's going to look for more when we go to Pocono this week. So numbers of the week, 17. Roger Penske wins number 17 on the Indy side, and Kyle Busch becoming the number one driver to win at all tracks. Unbelievable. EG3 show, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the EG3 show on a post-race edition of the podcast. Eddie Greer III saying thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. And this will be up first thing in the morning. Thank you for tuning in, for listening to tonight's post-race reaction episode of the podcast. And remember, we'll be on a couple more times this week as usual as we get ready for Pocono. But for now, we're closing up shop. EG3 rolling out. Thank you for listening to the EG3 show podcast. And once again, congratulations to all the winners this weekend: Brad Keselowski, Daniel Ricciardo, Will Power, and Kyle Busch, winners of Memorial Day weekend. EG3 show. We'll talk to you next time on the EG3 show. We are rolling out. Talk to you next week. Or actually, excuse me, but we'll talk to you later on this week on the EG3 show. Let's get out of here before dessert is up. We out.